keep something right there. Right there, Isaiah chapter 9. And turn with me back to 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, it talks about a woman named Jezebel. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There was a famine in the land. And in verse 4, it says, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the who? Prophets of the Lord. That Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." Now, Jezebel cut off these prophets. Now, who was Jezebel? Jezebel was a woman who married a man named Ahab. Ahab was in a part of the children of Israel. Jezebel was not. He married her. But because of her witchcraft, she was able to govern him. And we call it today an Ahab spirit. Dr. Ed Cole, who's going on to be with the Lord now, used to call it a wimp spirit. Am I right about it? If you know it. And that spirit brings the head. It's after the head. Remember that. It's after the head. That Jezebel spirit is after headship. It's going, whoever the head is, the Jezebel spirit is designed to control the head. And it's tantamount to witchcraft. That's all it is. Okay. Now, it's interesting about that. Now, this is not my lesson, but this is what I got to share with you. Because if people think by their not receiving what I'm saying is going to manipulate me, they got another thought coming. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm just letting you know that because everybody may not be ready for the truth. I mean, when I was preaching on vengeance and recompense, I could not believe how certain people would write me letters and saying, "Hey, you can't preach on that. You're stirring up a lot of racial hatred." I said, "What? How'd you get that out of that message?" The idea about it is that God's people are going to be judged with a blessing, and the people who are evil and doing evil are going to be judged with a curse. I mean, the judgment, the vengeance of God, is to rescue people who have been treated unjustly. And if somebody is not in favor of justice, they are considered wicked. You get somebody who's not in favor of justice, that person, you got to watch that person because they're subject to do most anything. The thing that you are to do as a church is to rescue people who have been oppressed. That's where we've failed in the years past, folks. We didn't step up to it. And the ones that did step up to it, the others tried to talk about them and oust them and so forth like that. I don't care whether oppression came against Israel, whether oppression came against the Jews during the time of the Holocaust. The church was supposed to step up to that Holocaust. That was wicked. That was evil. And somebody who doesn't want wants to see people be treated like that, or that something's wrong with their thinking. I don't care who a person is, what background they come from. If I see them people treated unjustly, it bothers me. It bothers me. It really does. You can't treat those people like that. No matter who they are, it doesn't make any difference what racial background they come from. And people write me letters like that. Now, most of the letters I got were compliments. They were saying they're using because they've been treated unjustly, fired unjustly, so forth and so on, because people are hurting out there. But the church is a justice arm of God. That the church should step up. The Bible says in Psalm 97 that judgment and justice are the habitation of his throne. They're the very foundation of the throne of God. I was just reading in a book about Rick Joyner, how he went to heaven and he had an experience with God. And God said, in the last days, I'm bringing justice. I just read that today. I had never known that happened to him. So it's interesting. I'm right in tune with the Holy Ghost. But notice, it offends some people. And it offends them because their hearts are not right. Well, if your heart not right, get it right. That's one of the reasons why we're fasting. We're fasting to get any garbage out of your heart that is not of God so that you can come into the right relationship with Him. Folks, God's people are supposed to be loving and getting along with each other and so forth. This is what the kingdom of God is. It's all kinds of nations coming together. Well, I go over in some of the nations in India or go to Brazil and so forth. Those are my brothers and sisters. They are part of my family. Did you follow that? All right. So, I'm just letting you know that Jezebel is after the head. In this case, he's after the prophet. He's after the person who's leading this church and taking this church forward for the kingdom. Folks, you have no idea how I've had to pray for my family. You have no idea what I had to go through to get to this point. No idea. Have no idea. You have no idea. I don't even want to bore you with it. But I'm telling you, you name it. It looked like he's tried every trick in the book. I'm telling you. The only thing I'm saying is, I started to tell you some of the things, but the only thing I'm telling you right now is that I'm sold out. I'm sold out. And I'm not really trying to please everybody. If you ever find a perfect church, don't join it. Because when you join it, it will never be perfect again. Are you following what I'm saying? Stop evaluating me. Listen to the word. Just I'm going to give you the word. But remember, a Jezebel spirit wants to control the prophet, wants to shut him down. It didn't say that the Jezebel spirit was after the businessman. Nope. If he can shut down the prophet, he'll get the businessman. Because you need a word from God. And it just so happens God set it up in his wisdom that you get a word from God, from the person of God who God put in place. So I just wanted to let you know this face-off between the prophet and Jezebel's prophets, it says he had, look at verse 19, and therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at what? Jezebel's table. Yeah. Eat at Jezebel's table. See? And Jezebel taking care of them. As long as they do what she says, she'll give them a little piece of land tax-free. I don't want you to give me nothing. Not a thing. Brother, I ain't selling out to no politician, no selling out to nothing. If it ain't in the word, I'm not doing it. I want you to hear that because When you get into the kingdom and really get deep in there like I am, you'll find out that God is not a Republican or a Democrat. You're going to find that out. God is on the side of right. Okay? All right, let's go over to it. Let's go over to Isaiah, please, very quickly. I got 14 minutes and 35 seconds. Amen. Y'all with me on this thing? I mean, you should want a leader that cannot be bought. Come on. You should want a leader that is not afraid and not timid and twisted and trying to manipulate people so that he can gain some advantage over them. My job is to get you what I know so that you can do what I do. My job is to get you to lay hands on the sick. You don't need to bring them to me so I can be some big somebody. You heal them in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. You don't need to come here to take communion. You can take communion at your house. See, it's not about a denomination. It's about the kingdom. And the kingdom has no walls. Denominations do. That's why they call denominations. All right. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Okay, all right, let's settle down. Let's get this right quick. Now you have used up 3 of my minutes. Now I gotta add 3 minutes onto this 12:49. All right, let's just look at this very quickly. Now, this is called the government of God. I see it's so important that the government of God be taught today because people are still denominational minded, or they're still coming in church and importing a Babylonian system. Remember, we said a Babylonian system is a system that tries to meet its needs without God. It's now where people are going through school or going through whatever they're going through. It seems that no God is in it anymore. And if you come on Sunday, we talked about the God factor and how you got to put God back into things because that's what makes it work. So the enemy wants to take God out of it because once God comes in it, then Satan's ability to control it diminishes. And so we want to make it so that you understand the government of God. It's an invisible reality, but if I can paint this picture clear enough, you'll find that you'll leave wherever you are and be drawn to the government of God. Now, you've been saved, and thank God you got saved, but you're standing in the doorway. You need to come on in the mansion and partake of the kitchen and fix yourself something to eat. Not right now, if you're on a fast, but so forth and so on. All right, look what it says here in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no what? End. Now you need to underline that. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with what? Justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, notice he's saying the government shall be upon his shoulder and that the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, I'm going to shorten this as much as possible. Now, what the prophet was seeing and speaking was about a coming kingdom that is reintroducing a government that will eventually cover the entire earth. It will start at one place like the garden was to do, and the garden was to be proliferated throughout the earth. Now, this government was being brought by Jesus. And that's why he started here saying, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government of the Father will be upon his shoulders. Now he left and put it on our shoulders. But now he's saying his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, so forth and so on. Now, this kingdom that Jesus came to bring, turn with me over, please, to Matthew's Gospel in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? This kingdom, it says here, that verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the what? Kingdom of heaven is greater than who? He. Who is he? John the Baptist. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, what? Suffereth violence. Keep going. And the violent take it by force. So this is chaos that seemingly is coming because this kingdom is entering into and it's coming into this earth, invading this earth in every place. And it's bringing order to the chaos that is here. So now you have seen things that are a result of the curse. There were no hurricanes before the curse. There was no tsunamis before the curse. All these things happened. But now that the curse is here, these things are happening. Now, what has happened is people, because they have no God and they have no kingdom reference, then the people are doing what they think is right to do. But in Proverbs 14, it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. Now, let's go over here and just kind of see. Now, I won't read you all of this. Let's just read one place. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, please. I'm trying to beat this clock. Look at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the what? Kingdom. And healing what? Every sickness, keep going, and every disease among the people. Now, heaven is dimensional. It is in another dimension. You can step right out of this place, this three-dimensional world, and step right over the heaven's dimension. Now, in heaven, it has its own economy. So it doesn't have to wait on things here in this earth. It has it already in heaven. Everything from body parts to ideas to songs to everything. Buildings, heaven has its own economy. And Jesus said, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what? On earth as it is in heaven. Because as things were structured in heaven, most of the things that on earth, they had been structured based on somebody's thinking and not necessarily according to the pattern of heaven. Lord have mercy. So Jesus, now when sickness is there, he is now manifesting heaven on earth. Here's a person blind from his birth. Let's say he never had eyes. Jesus got him eyes. Where did he get them from? Got them from heaven. They're just transferred here. God is still a creator. He can create things. He can make one thing something. He turned a snake into a stick and a stick back into a snake or whatever have you. So that can go on too. But my point to you is that there is an economy in heaven. And before Adam sinned, he could operate in both realms that he could see. That's why over in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elijah was surrounded by the enemy, He said, he prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened the eyes of the young servant and he saw angels. Now that's another dimension. That's part of the economy of the kingdom. The Apostle Paul prayed. You better get this what I'm talking about now. I'm talking Revelation. The Apostle Paul prayed, and he prayed it over in Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 1, he said in verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your what? Understanding be enlightened. Now, somebody tell me in your Amplified translation, what does that verse say? Do you have the Amplified translation? Can you flip that? I don't know whether you have it or not. Okay. No? Yes? Okay. I do not cease giving thanks, making mention. Keep going. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Father, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Keep going. Having the eyes of your heart, come on, flooded with light, so that you can, come on, know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Now, let's go to another one. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, if you will, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Real quick, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, I know something. I know that God is looking for seers. Folks, when he said, Lord, open his eyes, that was a revelation for the church. The church has now got to get his eyes reopened. He's not talking about your natural eyes. You can't see but so far. But you are not natural having a spiritual experience. You are a spirit. That the word liberty means you're coming outside of the boundaries of this flesh. See, if you can see it, you have no problem believing for it. The problem is you can't see it. Let's keep looking here. Y'all can't, all right, don't get quiet on me now because we're going. Listen now, this, you think this is not interesting. It is interesting. Look what it said, verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. Keep going. But God has what? Revealed them to us. How? By his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the what? Deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might, come on, know the things that are, the things that are, the things that are freely given to us of God. It's free. It's all yours. Say amen to this. So my point to you is there is a reality called the kingdom, which is invisible, which includes that heaven. It includes angels. It includes this earth. It includes you. And this kingdom is an entirely new government. But this government is going to have to be set up on earth. We're going to have to establish, Lord have mercy. I got 26 seconds. Can I take just a little bit more time here? Man. God has sent you to establish this government. Now, watch this. I'm going to take you to something because I'm going to shorten this. Let's go to Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5. 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Bless you. Praise God. That's healing right there. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Glory to God. Look what it said in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. For by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a what?
City
which has what?
Foundations,
whose builder and maker, come on, is God. Now, every person is looking for that city. I don't care whether they're Muslim, Hindu, atheist, makes no difference. They're all looking for that city. Now, that city is got the properties that Adam had in the garden that got lost. Every person is looking for a neighborhood that they can be safe in. Every person is looking to have peace in their lives. Am I right about it? Every person is seeking a good life. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Glory to God. Verse 17. The kingdom of God is not in what? Meat and drink. Keep going. But in righteousness, come on. Peace, come on. And joy, come on, in the Holy Ghost. So everybody's looking for that. So when somebody came to Jesus, and they came to Jesus with sickness, what did he do? He healed them. When a man is tormented in his mind and was out there cutting himself and so forth, when the disciples came back, they saw him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. When people needed something to eat, because everybody wants to be under a government that they can be cared for. See, I think that's what's going on here. People are thinking that this government in this earth right now can take care of them. No, my friends, this government is trying to survive. My point to you is there is a government that won't let you down, won't run out of money, won't run short, come on now, won't cut off your benefits, none of that stuff. Everybody is seeking that kind of life. And if you paint that picture, if the picture is painted vividly enough, they will leave where they are and come to where that picture is. And that's what we're to do. We're to heal the sick. Come on. We're to raise the dead. Come on. We're to feed the poor. Come on. All of that. Now, all of that is the kingdom. And if you want to know the truth, that the kingdom has now getting more and more popular every day because there's an increased need for it over the earth. Without the kingdom, the earth will not survive. Why? Because the earth is headed back to its chaotic state. Okay, turn to Galatians, please, in Galatians chapter 6. I'm almost done. Galatians chapter 6, You have the kingdom in you. Say, the kingdom is in me. Look at Galatians chapter 6 now, and look what it says, and I'll just read the scripture for you. He says this, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Keep going. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. All right, verse 8, put it up there in the Amplified, please. For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap what? Decay and ruin, keep going, and destruction. So what's happening? People don't know God, and they're sowing to the flesh. Well, what is the work of the flesh? Well, it told you what the work of the flesh is in chapter 5. Look what it says here, starting at verse 19. Now, the work of the flesh is manifested, which are these. Keep going. Adultery, come on. Fornication, yep. Uncleanness, yep. Lasciviousness. Idolatry, keep going, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, of such like. I won't go any further. That's the work of the flesh. So the work of the flesh is strife. So if I sow strife, I'm going to reap what? Destruction. So if you got a whole world striving together, what are they going to reap? They're going to reap destruction. My point to you is, if you don't have anything but strife and division in the House and Senate, then you're going to have some destruction. Lord have mercy. Murders, destruction. Whatever. My point to you is destruction is tearing it up. Turn to Isaiah 14. I'm only telling you people are not doing it on purpose. What they're trying to do is survive, and they think they're doing the best way they know how, but they're sowing to the flesh. And because it's a spiritual law, it's bringing destruction to the earth. So now you can't drink the water. You can't hardly breathe the air in the cities. Come on, help me now. I'm telling you, they're coming up with medicines, and they'll tell you before you take it. Well, the side effects are... you'll get a brain tumor. You might get your heart might stop. And so they'll tell you that before you even take it. And I got news for you. I ain't taking it. Now, I'm not coming against anybody. And thank God for our physicians. But our physicians should be apostles of healing. You got what I'm saying? My point to you is that this whole thing is moving towards, back towards where it was before the garden, before God spoke in it. It's moving, it's tearing itself up. The Bible says the whole creation, what? Groans. What is it groaning for? It's looking for a kingdom citizen to come and alleviate the struggle, to alleviate the destruction. We're the only ones that can reverse the curse. We're the only ones that can change the path and destiny of a people who are trying to make it in this life, and we have to establish the kingdom to do it. All right, let me just read you this. I'm done, but let me just read you this now. I got to get you the concept of the kingdom, because you got to see how important it is. Without the kingdom, the world is not going to exist. Not as we know it, it's not going to exist, folks, because it's headed for destruction. It is headed for destruction, and the thing that's preserving it is the saints. Yes. Are you with me? Yes. So Jesus, Lord have mercy. Okay, so let me just read this. I just feel like I'm not getting to you as I don't know why I feel that way, but all right, look what it says here. This is Isaiah chapter, what did I tell you? Isaiah chapter 14, all right, look what it says. He says this, he's talking about Lucifer now, Satan. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Watch. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the who? Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to where? Hell. To the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to what? Tremble. That diddeth weaken, shake what? Kingdom. That made the world a what? Wilderness. Folks, is going back. You know, sometimes I've seen movies or seen previews of the movies. I may have not saw the movie, but I've seen it, and it was a world that everything was destroyed. Oh boy, I'm trying to. Spiritual law is the problem. The problem is not global warming. The problem is spiritual law is tearing up everything. It'll tear up the environment, it'll tear up the atmosphere, it'll throw the seasons into chaos, it'll do everything. And what has happened that's putting the spiritual law of destruction in motion is people. They're doing things to the flesh, and because of it, they're stirring up the whirlwind. But they're not doing it on purpose. They're doing it because they don't have the truth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the what? God of this world. Now notice, he is death. He is not life. He can't keep anything living. He is Darth Vader. He is, y'all know what I'm talking about with that. He's full of sores. He can't keep anything. He's death. And anything he touches dies, man. It can't live because there's no life in him. The drug dealer ain't gonna be out there for so long because soon his destruction is gonna eat him up. Amen. Are you following? But Jesus came to save life. So the kingdom now, how many people now are trying to be fed in some of the different parts of Africa and so forth? I've seen that the food is not there and so forth and so on. Jesus came to feed the poor. Say amen to this. Now, I'm just saying the kingdom has enough resources to feed them. The kingdom knows how to put forth an apostolic strategy over that nation so that that nation won't go into chaos. Well, let me quit. Some people closing their eyes, going to sleep. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm preaching some of my best stuff in folks. But that's all right. I got broad shoulders. I can handle it. Everybody is searching for that city. I don't care what religion they are, they're looking for peace. Some of the religions say, hey, if you just be good and broke and poor down here, you'll get up to heaven, you'll get 17 maidens and all this kind of stuff. They do promise them that. Sure. Why? Because that's what they're looking for. But you can have it now. You don't have to go anywhere. You can be healed right now. Come on, help me now. Now, this is the kingdom that's got to be preached, not denomination, because denomination can't take you here. The kingdom changes your paradigm. Paradigm is a mental map. So the kingdom changes the way you see life. Changes the very way you see life. So you don't see it the same way you saw it anymore. And don't think a denomination, when I say denomination, I mean a person could be Baptist or Methodist or whatever have you, but they're going to have to still preach the kingdom. They can't be preaching Methodism or Baptistism or whatever they preach. I'm just saying, watch this. The days are over for that. They're over for that. I'm not coming against anybody's denomination. I'm just saying if the preacher is preaching and he's not preaching the kingdom, that's what Jesus preached and sent us to preach. And the only reason it got turned is because the enemy knew unless he turned it, he was through. And he turned it, and the kingdom dropped off the map for about 400 years. Now it's being stirred up again. And folks, when I first preached it at ministers' conference, people didn't hardly want to hear it or whatever have you. Some of them did and so forth. But they wondered, what was he preaching and so forth? Now, these are leaders. But I had to be subject to ridicule and keep preaching it until they got a revelation of it so that everybody can preach it. And that preaching, that kingdom has everything in it, and it comes with its own power. If I just give you the word and you believe it, it'll straighten you out. Here's what happened to T.L. Osborne one time, and I'll quit after this. He had a man, he was preaching under the tent. T.L. Osborne, as you know, is a great evangelist and preacher. And he was preaching, and then the man was brought in on a stretcher. And he had been involved in an accident, and his foot was crushed. So he had the sheet over him. One foot was sticking up. There was nothing on the other side, crushed. And then Dr. Osborne began to preach. Now, as you know, he was probably one of the greatest preachers of this hour. And he began to preach. And then he said, now it's time for healing. God's going to demonstrate it because the gospel is the complete gospel. It's not only the word, but it's the manifestation of that word in the eyes and ears and hearts of those who hear it. So what did he do? He came down and they directed him to this man on a stretcher, and the man was crying. He said, what can I do for you, sir? He said, Dr. Osborne, I think it's already done. He said, look and see. Both feet were sticking up under that. Now, Dr. Osborne didn't go to the man, lay hands on him, pray for him or nothing. He just heard the word. And it comes with its own power, I'm telling you. It comes with enough power to straighten anything out. It doesn't make any difference what it is. I didn't have time tonight, but I was going to talk a little bit about iniquity. Iniquity is different from sin. If you look in Psalm chapter 51, it's different from sin. Sin is that committed act. Iniquity is the footprint from the act. It's like you putting your foot in mud and you take your foot out. The foot is gone. That's a sin. But the iniquity is still there. And the iniquity is the thing that sometimes is passed down through generations. And iniquity is twisting. It's a twisting of something. In other words, a weakness inside of somebody. David talked about shaped born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It's two different things. He said, blot out all my sin and whatever my iniquity. My point to you is that iniquity is things that make, if it's not dealt with, it will be passed on to another generation. And every time it's passed on, it'll twist a little bit more. So pretty soon, somebody's coming into drugs. They don't know why they can't get rid of it and so forth. But if they look back to their family, the series of unsaved people had the same problem. And every time another generation hit, it seemed to have multiplied. It seemed to gather speed and so forth. That's iniquity, folks. And in the scriptures, you will not see where anybody in the book of Acts dealt with iniquity. And the reason why they didn't have to deal with it is because once a person confessed Christ, now their sins are forgiven. They become a brand new person. But now we baptize them in water. And we baptize them in the name of Jesus because that name then begins to cleanse them of all the iniquity. And that's why people come up out of the water drug free. That's why they come up out of the water healed. I'm telling you, folks, it's things in this Bible that people have gotten away from that if we get back to it, I'm telling you right now, we can set generations free. baptized? Well, why are you baptizing in Jesus' name? Why did they baptize in Jesus' name? Because the power is in that name to root up every iniquity and cut it off in your life. Somebody wonders why they get such age, and the next thing you know, they have thoughts about molesting a little child or something. Because iniquity is working.
Yes.
And it's got to be cut off.
Yes.
True enough, you can get prayed for the deliverance of that iniquity. But I didn't see in the Bible why they lined a whole lot of people up and say, all right, let's get some deliverance here. We're going to have deliverance. So they didn't do that. They just got them to confess Christ, took them to that pool, baptized them in Jesus' name, brought them up out of there, filled them with the Holy Ghost, and that's all they needed. They were delivered from the power of darkness and now in the kingdom of God, dear son. Say amen to that. Now, I'm not going to compromise anymore, because you need total deliverance. You need cleansing. You need healing. You need everything that God's got in that book, because the kingdom is coming to you right now. Now give the Lord a praise for it. That's all I got. Got a bunch of people arguing with the filling of the Holy Ghost. Well, filling of the Holy Ghost, that's not for today. That was for the apostle. Right, go in the Bible. And got a lot of people arguing with baptism. Well, you don't need to water baptize. People building churches and there ain't no pool nowhere in sight in that building. There's something wrong with that theology. There's something wrong, and I'm telling you, the enemy is after the leadership so that we won't come back to the very foundation of how the church has been built. When we come back to the power, we'll come back to the pattern. Praise God. This is your time. And that's why we're fasting. We're fasting to get all the unbelief out of our system, that when we pray, something will happen. When we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. When we speak a word, it shall come to pass. All right. I believe I got out what I wanted to say. Say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess any iniquity that has been in my family line in the name of Jesus. And I thank you. I plead the blood in my life to cleanse me this night in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. And whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Man. Ooh-wee. Hey! Saints, did you get something out of that? I have gone long. Now, I'm letting you know that, in my opinion, the church, God's people, are not supposed to be struggling with anything. That the toil should be totally eliminated from our lives. We're going to serve him with joy and gladness. Think about it. When you think about a vacation, that you want to take a vacation to the Caribbean or to France or wherever, Alaska. I don't see why anybody would want to go to, but about Alaska. No, I'm just kidding. Some people like that cruise. Now, I do not like cold weather. Ask my wife, any picture that comes on that has snow, you know, cold, I tell her, turn it. Turn it. Turn it. I don't want to see it. Well, sweetheart, we already ended the movie. Turn it. Wait till they come back to the heat. But anyway, God has a plan for you. And it's a plan for good to give you an expected end. He's got a book on you. And the book has already been written. And the enemy is trying to re-script your life. And he will not do it. Because this is your year of liberty. This is your year. All right, let me just say, if somebody's here in your life, you know you've not been right with God, but God has spoken to you during this message tonight. I'd like to do the same thing for you they did for me years ago.